an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
Hello and welcome to NITV Radio. Well, every January, the Sydney Festival enlivens and transforms Sydney with a bold cultural celebration based on big ideas, cutting-edge art and performance. The program is a kaleidoscope in its diversity, from jaw-dropping contemporary ballet to epic art installations, international theatre hits, immersive virtual reality, modern Indigenous art and theatre, punk protest and much, much more. I'm now speaking with the very talented Sydney Festival Director, Mr. Wesley Enoch. How are you, Wesley?
I'm good, my brother. How are you?
I'm really good, bro. And thanks for speaking to us today.
No, easy done. I love talking about the festival. It's one of those things that, you know, the festival for me is a real... It's the way to begin the year, almost, so that you start the year, you have your Christmas and your New Year, and then you have your cultural New Year's resolution where you go, what am I going to be like? What are the big ideas for the rest of the year? And the Sydney Festival just starts you off and gets you going. So there's lots of big things to think about, I think, in the Sydney Festival.
And how is the planning going for 2019? It must be an epic journey that you go on each year to get this festival underway, because it is so big and so diverse. So how's the planning going and how's the festival shaping up?
It's good. You know, you always think with an annual festival, you think the cycle is 12 months, but in fact, it's almost like 18 months, 2 years to prepare for a festival. So we're in the middle of, you know, getting the brochure finished and all that stuff. But it's interesting, as I'm going through, there are kind of certain themes that kind of keep popping up. The idea of finding safe places to talk about really important issues are part of what I'm doing as well. Mm. That's coming through in the thematics. The idea too of the moon landing, you know, next year, 2019 is in fact the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. And so there's a sense of saying, oh, what does it mean? The moon landing 50 years ago kind of brought the world together in a moment to understand what needed to be done. And maybe we need to think like that now around environmental issues or something. So the sense of how do we collectively gather and be ambitious together, that's what I got from the moon landing. And also, in terms of the Indigenous voice, which is always important to me, you know that.
Yeah,
that,
certainly do.
There's a strong sense that in 2020, we've got the 250th anniversary of James Cook coming through, and going, what does that mean for a country like ours?
Yep.
What does that anniversary really mean for us? And so there's a little bit of preparation around that, and thinking about how we have always been here, and we, you know, always was, always will be Aboriginal land. And how does Captain Cook coming here, how did he change our lives? Yes, but how did we then go on and grow from that experience and show resilience? So there's lots of different works like that. And as you know, we've got this blackout program, which is part of what I've brought to the Sydney Festival. Those who don't know what a blackout is out there, that when you have a gathering of lots of black fellas together, you have a blackout. You know, you have everyone together. There's a sense of joy in that. And so instead of calling it a very dry thing like, oh, our Indigenous program, I said, let's call it the blackout. That's what happens when we all get together. We have the blackout, so let's do it.
So what can people expect within the blackout program and some of the themes behind it?
Yeah, we've got a lot of things around resilience. We're working with Jacob Nash, who does a lot of the design work. I think he's the artist in residence at Bangarra.
Yeah, he is, Noel Nashy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And he's done lots of things like Clever Man, like in film as well. It's not just in theatre. And we're working with him to do what we're calling the Always Sculpture. You know, that, as we say, always was, always will be Aboriginal land. And so at Barangaroo Headland, there'll be 5-metre-high letters that just say Always, as a way of saying out to the harbour off to the North Shore as you're going by, and as you're walking by it, or you're going by on a ferry of some sort, you can see the word Always out there.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, just to tell the world. And it was interesting that last Australia Day, the 26th of January, Noel Pearson wrote an article where he basically was saying, look, if you're not going to change to the date, sure, whatever, then let's look at what... Let's add a date, which is the 25th of January, which is a date that says, you know, the day before the First Fleet arrived. Let's remember that day. And so what we've added in from Noel kind of challenging us is that we've added a vigil. So there'll be a campfire, just a normal little fire, inviting people of Sydney to come and just to sit down at dusk and think about what it means for the city, for this particular place, on the day before the 26th, to have a couple of, you know, sit down and just have some talk with people, have a little reflection of what that means.
And
we're calling that the vigil. That's part of what we're doing as well.
Yeah, and it sort of goes hand in hand with the big theme coming out from the Uluru Statement around truth-telling, isn't it? And about us owning up to our, you know, Australia in general, owning up to our own history. And it seems to sort of fit in with that sort of theme as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the Noel Pearson talks about these three big themes, big narratives. One is the oldest living continuous culture on Earth. That's part of our history in this landscape. We have the kind of colonial project, the British coming, but we also have the most multicultural country in the world. These three stories, he says, are very dominant, but we don't have a place for the other two. We don't have a place for the multicultural story or the First Nations story. We're dominated by the kind of colonial British story, but how do we give equal weight to them? And for me, I just think sitting down around a fire and thinking about it is at least the first step to imagining that.
No, that's a really beautiful thing. I'm getting little goosebumps thinking about sort of what that sort of could look like and what it could sort of mean, and the discussions that might be had around that campfire.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't know. You know, I'm not telling people how to think. I'm just saying I'm inviting people to come and sit down. We're doing also other things like Spinifex Gum, which is great. A song cycle that's been written about the Pilbara. And this fantastic young all-Indigenous female choir singing these fantastic songs, and that'll be at the Opera House, at the Concert Hall. We've got the amazing work that Ursula Jovich, people will know.
Oh, I'm such a
beautiful
fan.
Beautiful singer. Oh, she's deadly, isn't
such
she?
Such a fan of Ursula's.
Yeah, well, she's been the writer, and she also acts in this show called Man with the Iron Neck, which is looking at how a community deals with grief, and especially around suicide. And they're a physical theatre company, this company Legs on the Wall, that Ursula's working with. And so they're looking at the kind of physical expression of that. It's going to be a very big, important piece. And that'll be at the Drama Theatre at the Opera House. We have our Indigenous Language Program that's been going now for 3 years. It's really powerful. There's a work called Billadarang. Joel Bray, who's a fantastic dancer. Like, he's a pale skin. Aboriginal queer dancer from Orange.
Oh, really?
He's doing this piece that's called Billadarang, which basically means platypus, and he's talking about how he is, in fact, a whole mix of those kind of things. Mammal that lays eggs and is amphibious, and it'll be done in a hotel room. So 25 people will put on a little robe, get a glass of champagne, and he'll perform in all the little nooks and crannies of a hotel room here in Sydney.
Wow, that's so interesting. That's really interesting. I was only saying to my girlfriend yesterday, I've never met a black fella from Orange before, so I really look forward to meeting him.
Yes. Well, we all think that Donald Trump comes from Orange too, don't we?
Agent Orange there.
There's another great work by Henrietta Baird, who's called The Weekend. And it's kind of semi-autobiographical, about a woman who is out touring, dancing, out in the bush, and she gets the phone call from her youngest child saying, "Dad's gone missing, we've got no money, there's no food in the house, you've got to come back." And she comes back and she's got 1 weekend to running around Redfern and Waterloo to sort out, number one, where her partner is, make sure the kids are looked after, and what's going on. And it's a little bit comic, but it's a little bit heartbreaking as well. And this fantastic one-woman show where she plays all the characters, just bringing all the life of Redfern and Waterloo to life, is beautiful. There's two more that I really want to talk about. One is Black Box.
Yep.
That Daniel Browning's done again. He'll be doing it out of Blacktown, though, where there's a whole lot of speakers, talkers about the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander experience in this country, and you go into a box, this black box they call it, that's been architecturally designed, and you'll hear these stories being told and get into conversation, and that's out of Blacktown. And we're inviting a company from Canada, First Nations company, and the show's called Dear Woman, which is looking at the disappearance, if you like, the abduction and disappearance of about 1,600 women, First Nations women. And this play, they say, is a play of revenge, basically, where this character, Lila, goes off hunting the men who have taken these women, and it's not for the faint-hearted. I imagine it's a very tough play, but it's a story that needs to be told. And as always, that's what Sydney Festival's about.
Yeah,
you know,
that's...
We tell the tough stories. We also celebrate the great resilience, and we have the best parties in January you could ever have.
Well, I'll be coming along, that's for sure. But it sounds like such an exciting and challenging and confronting program. And are you finding, I just want to ask you, for Aboriginal audiences coming along, punters like me, like we are a very diverse community and we're all into different things. Do you find that Aboriginal mob love checking out all the different parts of the festival, not just the Aboriginal stuff as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Like things like, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, Nina Cherry was like the thing.
Yep.
You know, great kind of hip-hop artist. And it's great. We're bringing her out to do her new album. So Nina Cherry's going to come and perform as part of Sydney Festival. I know blackfellas would love to see her kind of do things.
Yeah.
And also that some of the fantastic work we have down either at the Opera House or the Ros Packer Theatre, that's always good. We're doing one show at the Sydney Town Hall with Belvoir called Counting and Cracking, which is about the migrant experience of Sri Lankans coming to Australia, well, in this case, in the 80s, and that whole experience of being in a country like Australia and being accepted or not accepted, people not knowing your history. And I think lots of blackfellas can understand that, accept that when you come to this country, sometimes it's difficult, it's hard to live here because people judge you. And I love that we as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander folk, sometimes we understand what it means.
Yeah.
And we're a lot more open and welcoming than some of our non-Indigenous kind of counterparts, I think.
Yeah, no, certainly I think that would resonate deeply with a lot of our mob because, you know, we know what it feels like, don't we?
Well, and we're all married in. You know, I've got cousins who got Afghani blood. I've got kind of Filipino and South Sea Islander blood. We do marry in to people, and we have for generations. And, you know, we are a mix of all of these kind of bloodlines.
Yeah, definitely.
And I just love this idea that the more we embrace all of our diversity in terms of sexuality, in terms of education, in terms of geography, but also the bloodlines that have made us who we are too, when we accept all of our diversity, we are stronger. And that's often what the people who want to tear us down want to do is cut us down into, you know, like, you know, the quarter caste, quadroon, all that kind of rubbish, try to not make us human, try to pull us apart. But in fact, we're stronger when we're together and we accept all the differences in our community.
Yeah, we're definitely not a mathematical fraction. We certainly are a whole, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wesley, thanks so much for joining us today. We can't wait to check out the Sydney Festival, and congratulations on the work you do, brother, in this space. You're a real leader and pioneer, and a lot of us are very thankful for the work you do.
Oh, Ta, thanks so very much.
That's Wesley Enoch. You can check out the Sydney Festival in January, people. We'll be back on NITV Radio after this short break.
This was an NITV Radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio or download the SBS Radio app.